Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Now, Ireland is woefully unprepared for future extreme weather events such as heat waves, flooding and coastal surges, which are going to be more extreme and frequent in the future. That's according to the Climate Change Advisory Council, which called on the government to take urgent action on adapting to the new realities brought on by the ever-increasing global warming crisis, including the hottest temperature here in Ireland, of course, that we've seen for 135 years this week. Professor Peter Thorne is Professor of Physical Geography at Maynooth University, and he's Chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council Adaptation Committee. Professor Thorne, good morning and welcome to Kildare Today.
Good morning.
Your reaction to the weather that we've seen this week, and also now the impending, I suppose, worry of thunderstorms coming in the next few days. It's a drastic change all in the space of a few days.
It is, and some might say it's weather, but the climate science is quite clear that in particular extremes of temperature, extremes of heat waves, and extremes of precipitation, very heavy rainfall events, are indisputably a fingerprint of the changing climate.
As I said from the outset, you're calling on the government to take urgent action in terms of adaptation when it comes to the global warming and the climate crisis. What exactly does that mean in terms of adaptation?
So adaptation is undertaken at multiple scales, from individuals and individual households through communities through to national adaptation. It's about making sure that we are resilient to the climate change impacts we might expect. So are we ready for the next heat wave that might be more 34 or even 35 degrees centigrade? Are we ready for a heavy rainfall event such as we saw in Donegal a few summers ago? Is our infrastructure ready and resilient to cope with that? There's no point in being late after the event and say we should have done more. We should be doing the actions now. We know that these events will occur with increasing frequency for as long as we continue emitting heat-trapping gases. So let's get real about taking the action we need to take to keep ourselves safe.
Yeah, the Climate Change Advisory Council has written to Environment Minister Eamon Ryan calling for a renewed focus on those adaptation measures. Are we woefully unprepared? Are we going to claw this back?
So our adaptation actions to date have been largely piecemeal and incremental, and that's not really adequate even for the climate we have today, let alone the climate we're facing into in the future. So we do need a step change in ambition, in adaptation. We need to fund that step change in activity as well. So it really is a call to action to put adaptation at the centre of making decisions that will affect our lives for decades hence. We do see less extremes than many parts of the continent of Europe, even the UK, and certainly North America, Australasia, a lot of places in the world see far more extreme than us. But what matters is the fact that we're not set up for even what other countries might consider normal everyday climate. If you told someone living in Spain that we couldn't keep our houses cool in a heat wave that was in the very low 30s, they would laugh at you. That's because their infrastructure is set up for it. So it doesn't matter in a sense that our extremes are less extreme than in other parts of the world. It's the fact that our infrastructure fundamentally is not set up to cope with them.
And Professor Thorne, over the last week or so, there would have been, I suppose, mixed reactions from people in terms of climate change. Some saying that perhaps we were overreacting when it came to the heat wave, that it was just a bit of sun, something that we've seen before. But what would you say to that, or how would you explain what this could mean for Ireland in the future?
So I haven't got access yet to excess depths data, but I would be surprised if there were not a substantial number of excess depths here. There certainly are indications that the excess death count in even in Spain and Portugal, which are used to heat, was probably in excess of 1,000 people. It might be nice for many people, but for some people this is deadly, and it's also not just affecting people, it's affecting our farm animals, our pets, our fundamental ecosystems that are what we rely on for so many services that support our life and well-being.
And just finally then, Professor Thorne, the chair of the CCAC, Marie Donnelly, as you have said, calling it imperative that an initial adaptation budget to 2030 be set following an assessment of what's required to make Ireland resilient by 2050 and beyond. The CCAC publishing 34 recommendations to the public consultation process. If people want to view those, how can they, and what was the, I suppose, main focus of those recommendations?
So all of the details should be available on the Climate Council's website, which you can find via Google searches or whichever search engine you prefer to use. And all of our information, all of the information on the meetings, all critical documents we prepare as a council are presented there. So there's a treasure trove of information on much more than this adaptation finding, on carbon budget process, on our annual reviews of progress that are mandatory to the government. So there's a wealth of information available on the council's website. There were a very broad range of recommendations around all aspects of adaptation. In terms of ones that really are interesting, the coastal adaptation, the fact we don't have a coastal development plan, we're not going to be able to protect every metre of our coastline. It's not economically or technically feasible. So what parts do we protect? What parts do we let go? And that's indicative of the broader challenges that we'll need to be confronted as we adapt to climate change.
Okay, Professor Peter Thorne, Professor in Physical Geography at Maynooth University and Chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council. Thanks for joining us on the programme this morning.
Thank you.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. All right, message into us on WhatsApp. There is no point in the Climate Advisory Council telling the government to prepare for climate disasters when the government are afraid to take on the IFA and Irish farmers, who are the biggest emitters of carbon dioxide and methane emissions into the atmosphere, as shown by the failure of the government to agree binding emissions targets for farmers. Another symptom of our recent heatwave is the collapse in the bumblebee and hoverfly population across Ireland currently. At the peak of the summer, there is a major absence of bumblebee and hoverfly when both species should be abundant. I suppose just dealing with the first part of that, as we mentioned in the newspaper review, and you've touched on it as well, and it kind of ties in with the new report from the Environmental Protection Agency that's out today, that Ireland's greenhouse gases have jumped by almost 5%, driven by increased use of coal and oil, but also agriculture remaining the largest contributor to overall emissions at 37.5% of the total. Green Party leader Eamon Ryan and Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue continuing to haggle, as it's described in the Examiner, over the carbon reduction target for the farming sector, with the discussions being in deadlock. The ministers both met yesterday in a bid to set a target which farmers will be expected to meet by 2030 as part of an overall reduction of 51%. I touched on this earlier. Eamon Ryan is pushing to set the agriculture carbon reductions target at the higher point of 30%, but it's understood that Charlie McConnellogue, as well as members of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, want the figure to be closer to the lower limit of 22%. A spokesperson said the government is committed to meeting ambitious climate mitigation targets, and both ministers are continuing to engage constructively on the establishment of a sectoral ceiling for agriculture.
Carmel Kelly, Fianna Fáil councillor for Naas Municipal District, now joins me. Good morning, Carmel.
Good morning, Kieran. How are you this morning?
I'm fine.
I've never heard
you,
of a hoverfly.
Go again?
I've never heard of a hoverfly.
No,
I'm good to see it. Yeah,
I haven't either. Owen, have you ever heard of a hoverfly?
I haven't. I've heard of them. Have I seen them? No. But according to this listener, they're abundant in the summer. I have noticed the distinct absence of bumblebees around, though.
Have you?
Yes. this summer compared to others?
I've loads of bees. Yeah, no, I've loads of bees. I haven't looked closely enough. I never do to see if they're bumble or otherwise. But a hoverfly, no. That's
obviously, Solent's has a good amount of bees anyway, Carmel. We're going to ask you about your first motion to the council at this month's meeting. You asked for an update for the members on the progress of the health check for Solent's.
I did, and thank you, Ciara, for allowing me to have a chat with you this morning about it. Money was allocated in 2021 for a health check for Solent's, which is much needed because, as you know, Solent's, beautiful village on the Grand Canal, but is in danger of becoming a victor of its own success in its growing exponentially without a plan. So I was delighted to be told that there will be contractors in place, or there will be a design team in place, probably, I'm saying, September, with a view to coming in and looking at
You're that. Saying September, Carmel, because that's what you would like, or is that...
They said a couple of weeks, so look, I'm taking into account, a couple of weeks is 2 weeks, but we're talking about August, we're talking about holidays, so I'm saying if they're ready, if they're on the ground and ready to go by September, I'll be extremely happy. So that's what I'm taking as the couple of weeks, and it's really important. They're just going to take a look at Solent's village, inverted commas, we're a small town at this stage, and engage with all of the community groups and all the community and set a baseline for Solent's. So what Solent's could become, design a proper centre for the village, stroke small town, talk to all of the groups, talk to all of the residents, what we would like to see our village become and how would we like to see it develop properly.
Okay, Carmel, moving
apologies,
to...
I have a bit of a head cold.
No, no worries whatsoever. Moving to the next motion. You asked the council to outline how the new Curtivestown Park will be managed.
Yeah, really important again, because that's a fabulous new amenity on our doorstep. And when I say on our doorstep, I mean, like, Solent's, Kill, Naas. I mean, it's right there for all of us. And it's a beautiful new facility. As they call it, the Swan. Outdoor pitches, fully floodlit. Delighted to be told that there were going to be competition standard and multi-use pitches. So it's going to be really important, because I know in Solent's we are up against it when it comes to availability of pitches for both GAA and soccer, and there is no rugby in Solent's. And I know Naas and Kill are having the same issues with their lack of infrastructure. So this is going to be a fabulous new facility, opening late 2023, but there's no word on how it's going to be managed, because I know all these clubs are going to want access to all of these floodlit pitches, and the fact that they're going to be competition standard also. So I think it's really important, and I asked that if they haven't decided how it's going to be managed, that maybe that they would bring in the local clubs, speak with them, and see how they're going to manage it properly, so that all of the clubs will have access and equal access to all of these pitches.
Okay, well, thank you for your time this morning. That is Naas Municipal District Councillor Carmel Kelly of Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, thanks indeed to Carmel joining us on the programme this morning. Keep your messages coming in to us, 0833 97 97 97, text and WhatsApp. We'll be going to the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District in a few moments' time. But first of all, you may have seen this on your news yesterday evening. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald appealing to the Irish diaspora in Australia to come home during her whistle stop tour of Sydney, Melbourne and Canberra. Addressing the National Press Club of Australia in Canberra, Mary Lou MacDonald made a direct appeal for Irish people living and working in Australia to return and be part of a new Ireland that we must build. Ms MacDonald also said a referendum on Irish unity will take place in this decade, stating that we are in the end of days partition, and that's reflected in an article in the Journal this morning. We have some audio of Mary Lou MacDonald's speech yesterday in Australia, appealing to the Irish in the country to come home and be part of a new Ireland.
I want, if I can, to take this opportunity to speak directly to the generation of Irish people who are today building a life for yourselves here in Australia. Many of you have made homes here and you will stay. We are very proud of you, proud of the immense contribution that you make to Australian society. But I also know there's another side to this story. a story of the frustration, the anger of many young Irish people who feel robbed of a life in Ireland. And I know you have been very badly let down, particularly by a housing system characterised by unaffordable homes and extortionate rent, by living costs that were out of control long before we experienced this inflationary crisis of today. I understand that many of you are heartbroken, that your hard work and your potential may have been wasted had you stayed at home. I know that you want to be with your family, your friends, your community. You want to play for your local GAA club. So I want you to know that we are working hard to change things for you, that we will change things for you. We'll make Ireland the home that you deserve. So to those young Irish people who want to come home, I say, I want you to have the chance to return to your place of origin. I also want you to enjoy your time and your experience in this incredible country for however long it may last. So work hard, enjoy the sun, enjoy the lifestyle, but come home and be part of the new Ireland that we must build. We need you.
Yeah, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald speaking in Australia yesterday. I think the Sinn Féin delegates are going to be down under for about 2 weeks. And as I mentioned, they're taking a whistle-stop tour around Sydney, Melbourne and Canberra. All right, let's move closer to home then once again and to the Kildare-Newbridge Municipal District, where Fianna Gael councillor Peggy O'Dwyer is on the line now. Good morning to you, Peggy.
Good morning, Owen.
And motions that you brought forward to the recent meeting. And first of all, you were looking to get a footpath installed from the new housing development Curra Farm to the Cadeen Hotel. Is there no footpath there at the moment? I thought there might have been.
No, Owen, there is just one up as far as the Cadeen Hotel. So Curra Farm is one of the newer housing developments. And I suppose, to me, it is opposite the Maxwell Garage. So unfortunately, when the planning was being given to this estate, it was just a missed opportunity to make the developer create that connectivity pathway to the Cadeen Hotel. So the response that you will see, it's noted on it that this is now going to form the planned NTA-funded Newbridge Cycle Track Network project. And this is currently being designed and will include both pedestrian and cycle ways both on both sides of the road. You can't cross the road to get the path that's on the other side. It's just too busy. So I did ask the question then, when is this project hope to be just starting? So the answer from Donald post meeting was that it will go to Part 8, which is the public consultation process, for the proposal before the end of 2022 or the first quarter of 2023. So unfortunately, in the short term, there isn't a resolution to get that path there, but in the long term, it is going to be part of a bigger project.
All right, if we stay with pathways, then you were also looking for an update on the link between Beelan Woods to the Liffey Linear Park, which is something that we have documented and highlighted here on the programme very, very well over the last while. It's been a couple of months now since we had that meeting in Royston Boxing Club. Peggy, any update at all?
No, and like that, I and Councillor Heavey had another motion similar to that. So it would appear in this situation there's ongoing discussions with the developer and Kildare County Council to find a resolution. But it's one of the ones that we will keep on the progress report to just get an update as soon as there's any breaking news on it.
OK, is there any plans to upgrade the junction at Edward Street in Newbridge at the Bank of Ireland there? What upgrades were you looking for, first of all, and what was the response?
Well, the upgrades there, Owen, we've just bigger vehicles and we have bigger buses. And presently at the minute, if you go up and you're parked there at that Bank of Ireland Pennies Junction, when the big buses are coming around from Charlotte Street, there has been occasions that people are just looking at each other. We can't go back, we can't go forward. So somebody has to make the move to go back. They did put in an additional pedestrian crossing and that was appreciated, particularly for the Newbridge Access Group. I'm a member of that. But again, this is going to be part of the bigger upgrade from what we spoke about earlier when they actually developed the Newbridge cycleway and pathway. But that junction is very tight and vehicles can face each other and have to do a bit of reversing just to get around the corner.
Okay, and just sticking with road issues as well, I want to go back to the Black Trench Road that we spoke to you on the programme a couple of weeks ago. Peggy, any update on that? We've been contacted by a few listeners now driving along the Black Trench Road, hitting that dip in the road. Where do we stand at the moment?
Where we stand on that postpone. Unfortunately, we had an appointment with the engineer to meet there, but we just had to reschedule that. I have been in regular contact with the gentleman that you have been engaged with as well. The Gardaí have contacted him. They are going to put in additional speed cameras out there, and we're still working hard to get those particular dips on the road to get them made much safer.
Okay, and that's on the Black Trench Road there on the way out past Clongowrie. Finally then, motions that you had at the meeting, Peggy, you wanted the council to initiate a protected structure process on what was the former reading and recreational barracks for officers in the Bord na Mona buildings in Newbridge. Tell me a little bit about this.
Well, Lone, this one came to me when we had that very successful SALT exhibition that was on earlier this year, which, you know, is that Newbridge Graves-based artist, and in collaboration with the Newbridge Local History Group and the Decadal Commemoration, which I am on. And just when we were in that building, it's the last of the original buildings in the Bord na Mona headquarters, it was mentioned to me there's no protective structure on this building. So just a little bit of history. The building itself was built as the reading and recreational room for officers, built by the British Army in 1880. And in 1912, two detached dining rooms were added. The barracks were handed over to the National Army in 1922. And in 1924, it closed and became the responsibility of Board of Works. So in 1940, the reading rooms became the Bord na Mona civil engineering section and a clinic for the medical officer. And in 1990, then it became the Peace Research Centre. So I want to acknowledge James Durney for giving me that background information. So look, I'm very pleased with the response to this one, because Bord na Mona, as you know, are putting in a big application for the whole development of that site. But it's important that we retain what is our history. So what the council have said, it's not possible to put it into the present county development plan, but the planning department will consider it following the addition and the adoption of our new county development plan. But the architectural conservation officer with particular interest in architectural and social interest within Kildare County Council is also aware of it. So I'm very positive that this will go forward to be a protected structure, which is very important, rather than we just letting it go and not being aware of it. So I'm pleased with that result.
Okay, on that note, Fine Gael councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Peggy O'Dwyer, thanks for joining us on the programme this morning, Peggy, and good morning to you. Just before we go to our next item, an email into us, studio@kfmradio.com. Just want to wish my wife, Karen Hussey, a very happy 28th wedding anniversary. Lots of love from your husband, Dave. And that comes in, of course, from Dave Hussey. So Karen and Dave, a very happy 28th wedding anniversary to you today, the 21st of July. Now, the CSO have released a new research on the impact of COVID-19 on travel behaviour during the year 2021. The key findings from that: car usage was down on pre-COVID-19 levels. Of those who travelled by car daily or almost daily, or at least five times weekly, less than 9 in 10 continued with similar frequency when surveyed in quarter 4 of 2021. That would have been expected, I'm sure, with a lot of people working from home. 1 in 11 were now using a car less often, and 3% were only making trips by car once or twice weekly. More people were spending less on their petrol or diesel in 2021 than they did prior to the pandemic. Nearly half of respondents said that their motor fuel spend had changed between 2021 and 2019. And of these, over three quarters were spending €50 or less per week on petrol and diesel. It's interesting, even that part, because this was done, I think, in around October 2021. And obviously, we've seen the petrol prices increase throughout the course of 2022. The greatest proportion were spending just €20 or less per week on motor fuel, compared with 27% pre-COVID. So think back to the latter part of last year. Were you spending €20 or less per week on motor fuel? And now what are you spending per week on your petrol or diesel? Concerns regarding COVID-19 was just one of a number of reasons given by respondents to the CSO survey for not using public transport more frequently, while nearly 4 in 10 persons who walk said they walk more now than they did prior to COVID-19, and nearly half of these were specifically for leisure or exercise purposes.